This is Brittany Slays from Unleash the Archers, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Sweet from Striper, and you are listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hi, this is Mike Guido from Loverboy, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
All right, Pittsburgh! You are the best! You got the best!
Hello and welcome to episode 529 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 529, very pleased to welcome the entire band White Cross, who have joined us to talk about their first album release in 20 years. Hard to believe it's been that long, but the band will be releasing Fear No Evil on March 22nd. And to celebrate that, they're doing an album release show here in our area at Freedom Church in Indiana, Pennsylvania. That show's Friday night. So if you're listening to this, there's still time to get tickets. Everyone who attends the show will get a copy of the CD, and they will be playing this album in its entirety. And having listened to that album, I have to tell you that this is phenomenal, start to finish. If taking 20 years between albums yields this results, not a bad idea. It didn't work out so much for Guns N' Roses, but it certainly worked out for White Cross. So without further ado, we're going to give you Rex, Michael, Benny, and Dave, White Cross.
I am bone, I am skin, I am so much more within. I am fire, I am stone. I am forgiven from the horror.
Gentlemen, my pleasure to welcome to Iron City Rocks. We have White Cross on the line. How you doing, guys?
Hey, great.
It's fantastic to have you. We've got Rex, David, Benny, and Michael. First off, congratulations on the new album. You know, no one's technically got to hear it, but I had a chance to listen to it earlier today, Fear No Evil. You know, what I love about it is if no one told me you guys were making albums 30 years ago, I would think this was a brand new band. With the sound is very modern. Well, you know, it reminds me a lot. I was just listening to KK's Priest to go into more secular music, and you guys are right in par with the quality of the recording, the songs, everything. Couple things that kind of struck me off the top was, first, you going through this album, you know, The Way We Rock, The Lions of Judah, a certain theme, and then Jackhammer. Which that question's going to go right to you, Rex. Was that a Eddie Van Halen kind of, I'm just warming up sort of thing, or was that a piece you've had for a while? Because that really was like, whoa, kind of throw you back in the chair.
That's a homage to when I was 19 years old and I heard Van Halen for the first time. You know, that just destroyed my world. I was like, I thought it was so unbelievable at the time. And people today, you know, kids heard Van Halen today and they go, yeah, well, that's old. They're kind of growing up there. That's why my mom and dad grew up in it. But, you know, in 1978, when I came out, it was amazing. And I thought, well, this is the gold standard and that's where the bar is. So if it's good enough for Eddie, then by law, it has to be good enough for everybody else who comes after him. So
sure.
I always thought, well, you gotta throw in a guitar solo, and that's a tip of the hat, so to speak, to the mighty Edward Van Halen.
Well,
And we honor the memory, and we love the band, we love the man, and we pray for their families,
yeah,
It's
you certainly did it justice. I put that up there in the instrumental. Kind of came, I wasn't expecting it, to be quite honest with you. I just get a track listing and I'm going through, like, okay, this is a great album. And then that came on, I was like, okay, this is a I wasn't quite expecting that. And I love that kind of feeling you get when you listen to an album and you get a kind of a curveball. Couple of the other songs, like, I have to ask, listening to 29,000, what is the kind of the symbolism behind the name of the song? Because I was like, I did even a little bit of scripture research, and I wasn't quite sure where that came from. Is that something you can divulge?
Well, it can mean whatever you want it to mean, but in scripture, what is the length of a man's life? Three score, or maybe three score and 10, is it? If by reason of strength. So I just took 80 years and multiply times 365, and you come out with something like 29,240 something.
Okay.
So I thought, 20, this is a nice round number. 29,000 is approximately, give or take, that's the days that you get. And that has really had a profound impact for me, in realizing that, man, every day, even if you're having a good day, if you're sick, if things are not going, you got fired from your job today, or difficult things in life happen. We have bad events that can happen, but we also have good events. And on balance, these are the days that God has given to you. He's given you about 29,000 of them. And I don't want to have any more bad days. I had way too many bad days. I don't want to waste any more days. I want to thank God for every day that you have on this earth as a gift, and it's an opportunity to share music and to share something great about, what God has done for you. And it's a chance for a testimony. So
Excellent.
let's redeem the time.
Well, see, now I'll go back and listen to that with a completely different perspective. Thank you. Because
Can I
that,
interject something? Yeah, this is
yeah,
Mike.
absolutely.
I think we should have done something based on Genesis. Is it six that God has given every man 120 years?
He's pulling our leg.
I don't know
Well,
to.
is Methuselah lived to be 910?
Yeah, Elizabeth was having children at what age? So yeah, I wonder if they were working on quite the same calendar. But yeah, no, that's a good one. When you guys approach these songs, one of the things, I was actually describing this record to somebody earlier today, because I think a lot of people who were or listen to primarily mainstream rock, mainstream metal, can find, quote, Christian music off-putting, because sometimes the message is a little, I don't want to say too, I don't, corny sometimes. I'll even say that there are artists I listen to sometimes when I'm going through the stations and I go across the praise section. Sometimes, even as a Christian, I'm like, I don't know, it just doesn't strike a chord. But you guys, I think, approach the lyrics and the content of these in a way that I think almost drew me in more so than pushed me away. Was
Wow.
when you write the lyrics, do you have kind of, I mean, because you listen to this and I think people like Christian metal, I mean, there's only one name I think that really comes first in everybody's mind is Stryper, and their songs are very different. And I know a lot of, quote, metalheads who really are turned off by that, but I don't sense that with your music, because I don't think it's as, I don't want to say in your face, but it's not as, I don't know if there's a right word for it, but do you can't give any kind of thought to that when you're writing the songs of how you portray the message? Because the message is certainly there. I don't want to say that you're, underselling the message of what you're after, but it's not, I don't know, it doesn't feel as forced to me, maybe. And that's not a knock on Stryper. They do what they do and they do it well.
You guys
But
want to? Yeah, I just see this is Benny.
yeah.
When Rex actually wrote the lyrics on it, I think his approach is
it's definitely the message is there, but he writes lyrically to kind of get you to think about the message.
Yeah.
It's not always about being so right in your face. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gets you to kind of think about, you know, when you're from the song from the top to the end, it gets you to kind of think it in a different way, in a different road. Yeah. The message is still there, like you said, but it's not so direct. And all of a sudden, like the first two lines, and you got exactly what the whole song is going to say. No, he's got it like more of like a story.
Yeah.
Telling a story about it. And that's what's so nice about it.
But I think you nailed it on the head. When a song is like forced, I think you can feel that. You can, you know, and I feel the same way. It kind of like turns me off as opposed to something that is genuine.
Yeah.
Not that we always get that, but like when I've heard songs where you can just tell the artist speaking from their heart and it draws you in, that's something.
Yeah, and probably just as an artist, and this is kind of like advice for younger bands too, is you have to figure out who you are. You have to know who you are, and then you have to figure out what is it that you want to say to the world. And I can say what I want to say in four guitar notes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can talk to, you know, everybody. I like to say every musician has a voice. And that's why music is so great, because it's a language that we speak emotionally to each other, and we are able to convey deep, a whole different vein of emotion than you can get by just speaking words out loud. So words that you use, you want to just consider, like if I write a word or if Dave writes a word, you know, we want to like, well, we'll let it sit and marinate for a while. And then maybe we come back and say, you know, I like where you're going with the thought that you're trying to get across, but maybe is there a, you know, we'll always search for the best way to say it.
Right.
And then there are very simple rules of songwriting that, you know, if the rhythm goes dun 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 dun, you have to have a lyric that has the same exact number of syllables,
mm-hmm.
and it has to sing easily. You know, like we write a lyric down, and go, wow, that's a really great line, dude. Yeah, but then you have to sing it out loud. Yeah. That, you know, it kind of stumbles a little bit between two words or something. So you can't ever like force. You know, sometimes you do, but it's to your advantage if you can just really work in your craft as a musician and as a writer, and I also helps to write like that song "Man in the Mirror." We want to write a true story about, you know, an authentic story about true events that have happened to people or within the group. So we want to tell, you know, we want to tell stories that resonate with people, because, oh yeah, that's happened to me, or I've experienced that in my own life. So we don't want to be just preaching at people. We want to relate to them with, hey, you know, here's things that have happened in our life, and I'm sure that this has happened in some of y'all's life too. So we want to be relatable in that way. And, you know, if you think about it, Jesus Christ was the ultimate in, you know, God as man, you know, and he's relating to other humans.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking to us in a language that we could understand. And so we could begin. So he showed us a side of God that we were able to see just because, you know, he lived a human life. So, so we just want to be relatable in that way, and we don't want to be preaching. We still want to express truth, you know, as we see it, you know, as we want to express eternal truths, we want to express great things about God, but we feel that there's, you know, if you have to work at it, you know, and just because you write something down, you think, oh, this is a great story. Well, you sit on it for a few days and you think, maybe, you know, I like it, or does that resonate, or can we upgrade it in some way, or just make it more relatable, or bring in, you know, things that are common experience to everybody. So
do you keep kind of like, when you're putting songs together, do you start with kind of the story, you know, the experience, the, you know, maybe it's a scripture verse, maybe it's something you've seen in your lives or an experience you've had from a fan or whatever it is that becomes the impetus for the lyrics. Is that kind of the nucleus of the song? Or are you guys, you know, some bands will write riffs and come up with most complete song, and then the singer will go away and hold up in a room and come up with lyrics. Did you guys kind of, based on the nature of what you're writing, kind of have to start with the message of the particular song and then work back to the music?
And who started working on the song today, Dave? How does that work with the words?
Well, you played a riff, and then the guys jumped in, and I just felt something and started, you know, ad-libbing. So it was
some music today.
It was just a feel.
We were all doing it together. You know, that's a great moment when that can happen. It doesn't happen very often. We just don't get the chance to sit down and abstract. There's no time constraint or anything. Hey, we're just going to jam and see what happens. But yeah, so that's one way. As you said, you know, the band can come up with the music, the singer goes off and works on lyrics. Lyrics and songs happen all kinds of different ways. You know, Neil Peart was writing most of the lyrics for Rush.
And Rush.
He's also the drummer. So. Who's to say? You know, great lyrics. You know, I know Black Sabbath, the bass player, was writing most of the lyrics in the early days. So lyrics come from all kinds of places.
All directions, all experiences.
And sometimes it starts with a lyric first, and then this is such a great lyric. So sometimes Dave will hand me lyrics, and I hey, there's some really cool stuff in here. And I'll just let it sit, sometimes for a very long time, but then I'll come up. I'll be playing my guitar one day. Oh, you know, this actually matches with a lyric that he wrote, you know, and boom, you know, then it starts to come together.
Get that spiral. So it's been a number of years for you guys since the last studio album. I don't even want to do the math on that, but what kind of brought you guys to this point now where we're seeing Fear No Evil here in 2024, as I think it was 2005 was the last studio album.
We reached the end of the line as a band in the fall of 2018, and I can pinpoint the time. It was fall of 2018, and we had the opportunity to go to India, and the lineup that we had at that time, we had, in a word, we had coasted 15 years for various reasons. And we were not functioning well as a unit. Our lead singer said, no, we're not going to India. And the rest of us collectively said, we are going to India. We enlisted a guest singer. We went over to India. We had an amazing trip. It's probably the high point for me. That was one of the high water marks. It turned out to be one of the high water marks for the band, and we came back and we said we're just going forward. And then, and that was so 2019. We're looking around. I'm not sure exactly when Dave started coming in, but we did our first show. Well, COVID, you know, we lost everybody basically lost a year out of their life due to the government shutdowns. So, you know, I don't think it was the disease so much as it was the policies that, you know, prevented people from getting on with their lives. But so 2021, we did our first gig with Dave. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so Dave came in, and then we're just all of a sudden we rediscovered the cohesiveness. And a camaraderie, and it's like boom, all of a sudden we're all like lined up again, and we're all pulling the wagon together in the same direction. And all the horses are pulling together in tandem, and we're working together. Sorry about that, the phone's ringing.
No, that's okay.
And it's a spam 800 pounds. So great,
Rex. You have a warranty expired.
Yes. Yes, you know, I can save 10% on my car insurance.
Take it.
Yeah.
10%.
So Dave came in, and then we've rediscovered the camaraderie in the band. And then, you know, and that opened up the creative you know, the spigot gets turned back on. You know, the faucets are flowing again and the water is flowing through the pipes and all the creative juices are unlocked again. And then things just started. So that was just seemed like a natural thing from about 2021 until we worked on it in 2022, 2023. We just really did all the recording. And we actually had the record done in like December. And then it takes like a couple of months for the record company to get it uploaded into all the proper channels.
Sure, sure.
Registered and everything. So it's finally releasing this week on Friday the 22nd. So we're so excited about it.
Now I see at the show in Indiana, PA, you're going to be, the ticket includes a CD. Will this be available on vinyl? If I'm assuming there'll be a demand for that.
Well, yeah, we get a lot of people that say that a lot. So I certainly hope so. It's not entirely up to the band, because if it was up to us, we'd say, well, how many vinyl copies are we pressing? You
know, right.
It would be an automatic thing for us. But I would hopefully, cautiously, optimistically say I think there's a good chance and a high percentage chance of that. So, but there's, you know, I don't know. It's, I don't think any of us knows really.
Forthcoming. The it's amazing how many albums have been delayed in the release because of the holdup in vinyl. You know, all the pressing facilities were backed up and, you know, they had to get all the Taylor Swift records through before anybody else's could be made. So, right. No, I totally understand.
You know, she's more important than you are, so.
And she's more talented than I am. I'll give her that. But I don't know. Is it worth? No, I'm not going to go there, but she's certainly talented. So you guys, as far as the show, you guys are going to be leaning pretty heavy on the new material. I think when I listen to this album, I think this needs to be played like 7, 8, 9 songs. Is that something you can do? I mean, you've got obviously a history and a back catalog that people haven't, you know, are probably itching to hear.
This is a, you know, and this is also an appeal for people to come to the show too. This is a once in a lifetime, never before been done. We're having a record release party in Indiana, Pennsylvania, to celebrate the release of our first album in over 20 years. And so this concert will feature, so as you said, everybody who walks through the door gets a copy of the album. How cool is that? B, we have the opportunity for a special meet and greet time with the band, like a pre-show meet and greet, and where we're going to do we're going to do like a little acoustic set for the meet and greet audience, the VIP audience. And C, we'll play like a couple of standard songs that we play just to get warmed up, and then we're going to feature the new album in its entirety.
Oh, so you're doing better than I hoped.
This is a record release party, so we're going to celebrate by you know, giving we want to give CDs to everybody, because we want everybody to have this album, because we love the album. And then we're going to perform the new record cover to cover, and you know, and then we'll close out with a couple of fan favorites after that. And it's going to be just a fantastic evening.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's always disappointing as a lover of music when a band you admire puts out a really, really strong album, and then you get two songs. You know, we'll take out something and, you know, go see Kiss after any new album, and you're lucky if you get one song. You know, to get 11 songs on the first night, that's fantastic, and such a strong album. Gentlemen, I don't want to keep you any longer. I want to congratulate you all. Fear No Evil, a fantastic record. March 22nd, Indiana, PA. We'll have all the information on our site on folks to can get out to the show, and want to thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
All right. God bless, guys, and we'll see you in a couple of days.
All right.
All right. Take care. again Friday, March 22nd at the Freedom Church in Indiana, Pennsylvania. That's on 905 McKnight Road. Not to be confused with the McKnight Road that gets you to Ross Park Mall, obviously. Make sure you get your ways correct. That's in Indiana, Pennsylvania. The show gets you, obviously, into the show itself, but also gets you a copy of the CD. They'll be doing that CD in its entirety, plus some other White Cross classics. So it ought to be a fantastic night, and such an honor for them to be doing this in our area. So, you know, give the snippets that we gave you a listen. Hopefully it whets your appetite. You get out there and listen to these guys. Great music, great message. Should be an awesome night of metal. So I want to thank them for their time. And the song that I mentioned in the interview, Jackhammer, wow, wait till you hear that. Again, you can visit us at IronCityRocks.com. We are on all the social medias, being Iron City Rocks, all one word. You can reach us at IronCityRocks@gmail.com. Let us know, do you like more of the metal stuff, more of the blues stuff? Do you like the Christian music? Or you not like the Christian music? Let us know. Love to hear your feedback on that. Doesn't mean we'll necessarily change based on one person's opinion, but we'd like to know what people like. So let us know what you think, and we want to thank you for taking the time to listen. Hopefully we want to thank you for getting out to see White Cross on the 22nd here in Indiana, PA. So until next time, thank you.